And the reason why I launched this ministry, in addition to the fact that this is the thing that I know most, during my travels, I met so many families of people who either converted to Islam or are considering conversion to Islam. And all those families had at least one of two things in common between or among them. First, a deliberate ignorance on the religion of Islam. They circulate what is inaccurate about Islam, and that compromised their credibility as truth-seeking Christians and caused their more open, more educated family members to suspect the Christian faith that was not properly presented by them, and that caused them to sympathize with Islam. The second reason was an unhealthy attitude toward the Muslim people that spurred in their family members also to sympathize with the Muslim people and eventually with the religion of Islam. This lesson this morning is part of what we have to know if we ever want to introduce the truth of the gospel to any non-Christians, specifically Muslims, because that's within the line of my work. Yesterday we learned in our Islam Mythbuster class that Islam is bad. Today we will learn that Islam is false, but we have to know why. Before you introduce the truth of the gospel to someone, before you tell someone that you have to believe in God's word because it's the truth, okay, says who? This is a legitimate question. And the denominational world has deceived us into thinking that if you ever suspect that the Bible is from God, and if you ever felt in your heart something different, then you have sinned, then you have renounce the Christian faith, you'll have to repent and you'll have to be reinstituted in the church. This is false. This is not what the Bible says. The Bible actually encourages you to suspect and to research the Bible all the time. You have to know why the Bible is the Word of God. Have you seen the Bible coming down from heaven, from God? No, you have not. We grew up, you grew up, taken for granted that the Bible is God's word. You have been born and raised in a society that was shaped by the Bible. And you know that the Bible is God's word. You can either choose to follow and obey the Bible, or you can choose to turn away from the Bible. But in all cases, if you ever want to associate God with any message, you're only thinking of the Bible. Well, this is not the community that I was born and raised in. I was born and raised in a totally different culture that did not know God's word, that was shaped by an entirely different scripture. I used to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to the Quran playing through the neighborhood's mosque's loudspeaker. I would have breakfast and turn on the TV and the Quran would be playing on TV. I would take the bus to work and the bus driver would play a Quran cassette in his cassette player. I would start working and the woman in the next cubicle would play the Quran on her computer. The Quran is the book that is quoted in every wedding, in every funeral. The Quran is the book that is quoted by the elders of our communities, the tribal elders, whenever they want to decide what is right and what is wrong. And so they take it for granted that the Quran is the word of God and not the Bible that we have today, not the current copy of the Bible. Each of those two scriptures claim to be from God, but that is not enough to prove to people that the Bible is from God. You cannot tell a non-Christian that the Bible is true because the Bible says it is true. This does not make any sense. The other question that I've been asked yesterday when I said separate the religion from the people, because most people in the world did not choose their faith. Most people in Ireland did not choose Catholicism. They did not study their way into Catholicism. Most people in Pennsylvania, for example, did not choose the Anabaptist faith or version of Christianity in any way. That's the community that is there. Likewise, most people in the Muslim world did not choose the Quran. So before you say, why would a good Muslim follow the bad scripture of the Quran, you should know that Muslims have the same right to ask the same question. Do you know why you believe in the Bible as the word of God? And by the way, the Quran and the Bible, as you know, are not the only two scriptures in the world. I mean, look at that part of that list, another part to that list that shows the main scriptures that this world is offering us. Look how many scriptures do we have in this world. Let's go back to the screen. We do not need that. The Mormons have the Book of Mormons. There are many other religions, most of them local. Buddhism has a lot of followers, but it's more a local religion than an international religion like Christianity and Islam. And they have their scripture, another scripture. Hindus have their scripture. The Yazidis, that small religion in northern Iraq whose followers hid in the caves of the mountains when ISIS stormed their villages, they have the Kitab al-Jilwa. The Mandaeism, the followers of John the Baptist, another small religion that exists in the Middle East, they also have another scripture that's called the Ginza Rabbah. Granted, most of these scriptures are local. They did not face an international success for good reasons. There are 2 billion people in the world who are registered as followers of a certain or certain kind of followers of the Bible. 2 billion people in the world have a form of belief in the Bible. 1.5 billion people in the world have a form of belief in the Quran. And so it is safe to say that half of the world believes in either the Bible or the Quran. Thank God that narrows down our argument for today. We cannot study all those scriptures. So the answer to the question, which of those scriptures that the world is offering us should be adopted as the inspired word of God? The answer to this question depends on the answer to another question. What is a scripture? The word scripture has 3 meanings. First, linguistically, anything that you write is a scripture. A script. Anything that you scribble on a piece of paper, that's a scripture. Technically, a scripture is any religious book that is considered holy by followers of a certain religion. And so, the Quran is the scripture that Muslims follow because that's the holy book in Islam. That's what they consider holy. The Book of Mormon is the scripture of Mormons. Thank you, sir. And so forth. The third definition of the word is what is relevant to our class this morning. A scripture is anything that is written by an inspired person. Which leads us to the next question. Who decides who is inspired and who's not? In 1996, I just finished one of my finals. I was in a senior high school, and I just finished one of my finals. Once I left school, there was a man who put a stand right in front of our school, and he sold some used books, including a copy of the New Testament. I had a vague knowledge that this is the scripture of Christians. And so I picked the New Testament, and I opened it. And I saw the title, The Letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. And I was thinking, who is St. Paul? Is he the Pope? And why would a letter that was written by somebody to a specific number of recipients be included in a scripture that is supposed to be God's word according to that religion? And that was actually a very good question asked by a 17-year-old person. Who decides what is inspired and who is inspired? A scripture claims to be from God. That does not automatically make it from God. The Bible says it is from God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, good luck telling that to a Muslim person. The Quran also says it is from God. The same God that inspired the Bible, that's what the Quran claims. And the Quran says that in chapter 10, verse 37. Surah 10, verse 37, the Quran says that it is not such, well, this Quran is not such as could have been made up by someone without having been revealed by God.
Okay.
Both the Bible and the Quran, they claim to be from God. A scripture is intended to be a historical record. It has to stay true to the local and contemporary context. Any book, in order for that book to survive, has to stay true to the local and contemporary context. I can tell you stuff about Iraq, false stuff, and get away with it, because you cannot investigate that. You've never been there. But I cannot tell you anything about Susquehanna Valley that is inaccurate and get away with it, because somebody would say, hey, I am here, that did not happen. And that applies to every book that intends to be a historical record. Both the Bible and the Quran intend to be historical records. For example, when the Quran talks about a man by the name Muhammad, who lived in a city by the name Mecca in the 7th century AD, lived a certain life, migrated with its followers to another city in Arabia called Medina, fought certain wars, you bet all of that has to be true, because the Quran was written and compiled and standardized by Muhammad's contemporaries. If Muhammad did not exist, somebody would have said, hey, I was there, there is no man by that name. The Quran would not have survived to us today. Likewise, when the New Testament, for example, talks about a man by the name Jesus that was born in Bethlehem, that was a native of Nazareth, that lived a certain life, that was condemned to death in a certain way for a certain crime that supposedly he committed, all of that has to be true, because the New Testament accounts, the Gospels, were written by the contemporaries of Jesus. And so both the Quran and the Bible so far have the same good arguments in their favor. Both the Quran and the Bible tell you, do not be shocked to learn that somebody made up a scripture and claimed that that scripture is from God when that scripture was not from God. They both suggest the possibility of the existence of false scriptures. While the New Testament was being written, some people actually took the time and took a pen and a paper and wrote whole letters and claimed that these letters were from the apostles. And Paul refers to one of these claims in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. And he says, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as is from us. Somebody made up a book and said, hey, this is from Paul, when that book was not from Paul. And you know that the Bible places severe punishments against anyone who adds or takes away from God's word. The Quran also makes that suggestion and places the same punishments. The Quran says in chapter 6 and verse 93,